much about.
I wanna end me. What do you want from me?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
Ah! Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's you.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm the man!
Yes!
This is good.
Smell it.
Yeah! Whoa!
Yeah.
Go for it!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
Oh, God.
Excellent!
Yeah! So good. Join the Butthole Revolution.
And now.
No one informed me that this program was happening today, so I didn't prepare any words.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, party people.
Morning.
Hi. Welcome to Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It is Monday morning, the 10th of February.
Mm-hmm.
How's the weekend?
Oh, slammed.
Slammed?
Slammed. I watched every episode of The Outsider.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That does sound slammed.
That does sound action-packed.
I was trying just to get better, so I didn't do anything. I had really fun plans Friday night,
mm-hmm.
canceled them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started The Outsider. And then I went to bed Friday night, had the worst nightmares of my life.
All right.
Okay. And then couldn't wait when I woke up on Saturday to continue The Outsider. Saturday night, awful nightmares again.
All right.
It's not a good pattern, but such a good show. Stephen King. I like him.
Heard good things about it.
Yeah, I did too. How many episodes are there?
Last night was episode 6.
All right.
Yeah. Hmm.
Jensen?
We had a parents' date.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, like,
you get a babysitter.
Yeah. We have a 7-month-old, so mm-hmm. you can't just, like, you know, leave them as much as I try to do that at the house. And so we went and had, I wanted to take her to, like, a nice place.
Right.
My wife to, like, a restaurant. We haven't been anywhere out of the house.
So CPK?
Well, I mean, honestly, she would have really freaked about that. But instead, she picked her spot, which was Soup Plantation.
Okay.
Oh, I said, my gosh.
Any restaurant you want to go to, and she chose Soup Plantation in Northridge, which I was like,
bless
we could just wear our pajamas. We don't have to get dressed up or anything.
By the way, best case right there.
I know. And so we went to that, and then we filled a back tire that we needed to fill that was out of air.
This is sexy.
Wow.
And Keep going.
They put up a new stop sign in our neighborhood, so we went and checked out the new stop sign.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't know what to do with yourselves.
And then we went home and slept.
Wait, walk me through the conversation of should we check out the new stop sign?
Well, because I was telling her, I was like, you know, they have a new stop sign down the street. And she goes, oh, really? And I go, yeah. She goes, where? I go, well, at the bottom of the hill. There is one at the top of the hill, so I'm sure people are pretty mad about it. And, oh, yeah, I saw a Nextdoor app about people being post about people being mad about the stop sign. I go, yeah. Do you want to see it? She goes, yeah. I go, great, let's go.
How do those two sentences follow each other? Why do you say, do you want to see it? Because it's a stop sign.
We both got very excited.
And why did she say yeah?
I don't know, man. We are thrill seekers. That's all I can
tell
you.
Wow.
Adrenaline rush, huh?
By the way, parents' night in bed by 9:30. So very exciting.
Honestly, I respect everything you said.
Yeah. So,
Kevin, what about you? What was on your face that caused a stir?
I didn't see this coming, and it was odd, because usually I could predict the response to stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I put up a picture of myself at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino at poker
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy there had brought me a mask,
uh-huh.
a children's mask from a children's hospital. And it was Mickey Mouse. It was Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So he brought that for me knowing that I was sick.
Uh-huh.
So I put it on and then I took pictures of it. And almost the 100% of the response was, why do you have panties on your face?
Yeah. Kids' panties at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they weren't panties.
Yeah, I hate the word panties.
I do too.
Yeah.
They looked meager.
That's what everybody was.
Meager?
Meager.
Like, they looked like they were so tiny on his face.
Yeah.
It
looked like it hurt. Like it was like making your ears. Like,
well, it was small because it was a child.
Right, right. Got that.
So my gigantic dome had already broken the left side of the string, so I was just holding that side on.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it wasn't a children's panty. everyone.
Even the way you say it.
Please stop saying it.
It was just, it was a mask that they used at a children's hospital.
But when you looked at it, did you say to yourself, you know what?
Son, you got a panty on your head.
Mm-hmm. All of these people are correct.
No, I didn't, just because I knew what it was.
Okay.
So would you like to watch a movie with me with your hand down my pants?
Stop. Oh, you stop that right now.
How did it go on Friday night?
It went well.
Yeah?
It was fun, yeah.
You remember any of it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Not a lot. Yeah,
not a lot.
No.
Okay.
Not a lot.
No.
But it was fun. It was good times.
You got a little bit of sleep this weekend, I'm hoping?
Yeah, I did the same thing you did. I just sort of canceled stuff and stayed in bed the whole time.
Good. I'm feeling better. How about you?
Sure.
Oh.
I'm feeling some better.
I mean, it doesn't feel as contagious in here. Well, that is the truth.
Enter Destiny.
Right.
If she gets sick now.
If... Destiny, how you feeling?
I feel okay.
Yeah?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
Yeah, we'll okay. see.
But hanging in there, meaning hanging in there, you're sick?
I think she's fighting.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on the brink of it.
Right.
Okay. But we'll see what happens.
And then Iron Man.
She's going to wait until we all get.
Iron Man over here.
You're still good.
I mean, amazing. I texted him last night and said, you still got that immune system of a god?
Yeah. Other than the Jewish stomach that continues to have poo problems, I'm doing all right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You looked death in the face.
I did.
Multiple times last week.
I know. I really am a thrill.
You're a
thrill
miracle.
Seeker. Between that and the parents' date, I'm...
Right? Looking at that stop sign.
I'm a real tough guy. Toughy.
They went to look at a stop sign, Kevin.
They did.
And they went to Soup Plantation in Northridge.
On purpose.
Yep.
And then filled a tire with
and
air.
Filled a tire.
Yeah. We've been thinking about doing it for
Who
a while.
Who says you guys don't know how to party?
I know, man. Parenthood. Wow.
All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
The reason why I'm not eating my own mattress is because I ate my mattress already.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have a recap of the Oscars today.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am? recap of the Oscars, and also Matt Bellin, who will be joining us from The Hollywood Reporter.
Before you go on to the next thing,
yeah.
Out of 10, 10 being the best, what did you think of the Oscars?
I was... In and out of the Oscars.
Okay.
Because I was in a NyQuil haze.
Oh, good
so
times.
I woke up and I would see like Eminem on there and I'm like,
what year
I don't,
is it?
What's happening?
Yeah.
Was he in a movie? And I started like thinking through the movies. I couldn't. Yeah. It seemed good what I saw.
I was entertained. I was in and out of it, but.
In and out, okay.
I seemed like I liked watching it. And then also it gave us what we wanted. It felt like a very audience friendly show.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Sure. Yeah.
No host.
Yeah.
Do it.
Ray Romano got up, used the F word.
Yeah, he did, Dirty Birdie.
Mm-hmm.
That what? He works blue, I guess, on live TV?
Just live TV.
Just live TV, only at the Oscars.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him today.
Yes.
Oh.
I feel like we're right on the precipice of pop culture.
Yeah, not only that, we need to
Don't say it out loud because then he won't call.
Really?
I think.
Really?
I think.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
Okay.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm. Also, as part of our Oscar show, we have Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh.
Stupid.
You know what's funny is Dave made that joke and I cursed him out for it. And then I just stole his joke.
Congrats.
Great news. Mm-hmm. Matt Bellamy, like I said. And we've got tickets for you. Now we're doing 1975.
What do you mean?
We're giving away tickets for the 1975.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I wish I remembered more of the details. They're playing at the Five Point Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a smaller venue for them.
Or at the Forum. You can take either one.
Oh, either one. Whoa. Okay.
Great.
And then you qualify to see them again in Madrid, Spain.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Pretty good. You just messed up.
No.
Did you know you could pick and choose?
I think he did too.
Oh, no, I didn't mess up. Oh.
No,
that time.
Okay.
It's Five Point and Forum. Either
one. I knew it was two places because I looked at
Kevin.
Good for you, Kevin.
Stop it. We'll take a break.
Just hit his head on the mic.
We'll take a break and come back with what's happening next.
Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen, KROQ.
Hey, Allie.
What's happening? Is there happening? Is there things happening?
She sounded with it.
Sounded good.
And well prepared for the day, and I appreciate her.
Agreed.
Guys, Parasite last night, right?
Yay!
What a miracle.
It was great.
It was a real long shot. I don't know about the actual odds of it, but wasn't it?
Plus 300.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good.
Crazy.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Okay.
I mean, it's good for people who made the bet. I mean, it was right behind 1917, but still.
This is for Best Picture.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing. By the way, Parasite made history as the first non-English language film to win Best Picture at the Oscars ever.
Gosh, I love movies.
The film nabbed 4 wins in total at the 92nd Academy Awards, including for director Bong Joon-ho.
International. He seemed so happy.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I've been watching some interviews with him because I'm just fascinated by what English he does know. Mm-hmm. And then when the translator takes over, I'm just, their relationship is so cool to me to watch. He has been saying leading up to this, I'm just ready for it all to be over. Mm. I want to go home.
It's too overwhelming for him.
It's too much. He just wants to be with his family. He wants to go home. But I think the more he won, he was like, all right, one last night.
All right, I'm
good.
Let's
do it up. Yeah, he did pretty well. Well, as well as winning for director, he won the movie, won for international feature film and original screenplay. And I thought it was such a great moment, too, when he won for director and he made time for the other directors in the category, and everybody did a standing ovation for Martin Scorsese. He said how Quentin Tarantino had just supported him from the beginning. So it just felt really special with him up there.
Special. I kind of saw this the stat on the way in. He tied Walt Disney for most individual Oscars in a night.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
What? That is nuts.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the movie is that good. Kevin and I loved it. Our favorite movie of
the
year.
But I'm used to my favorite movie of the year never winning an Oscar.
I know.
That's never being up for an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
Winning a Razzie the night before.
Yeah.
So other winners, Best Actress Renee Zellweger for Judy. Best Actor Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. Best Supporting Actress Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Best Supporting Actor Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Adapted Screenplay Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit. Best Animated Film, Toy Story 4. Why did that make me so happy? Like, it's a sickness how much Toy Story delights me.
It's a great movie.
I think that's true. Yeah, most people.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, good.
Not the favorite again. That was another...
not at all.
Yeah.
Original song, I'm Gonna Love Me Again from Rocket Man, marking the first time that Elton John and Bernie Taupin have won an Oscar.
Clap if you care.
I do care.
Yeah. It's just that. Oh, Ali and Kevin. Okay.
Yeah. Screw you, Kevin. That hurt. Jensen.
All right.
I was clapping.
You're all, huh? It was a pretty interesting night. And I think the moment that everybody kind of went, wait, what just happened? They're doing a montage of songs from movies, basically saying how there are songs that can change the whole feel of a movie. And this montage, I'm watching it going, these songs are all amazing. Mm-hmm. And every single movie that they showed, I realized more and more that music really affects my movie watching and how much I love a movie. Every single movie, I was like, yes, yes, yeah, until Deliverance, where I yelled, no! And then at the end, they were showing scenes from 8 Mile, but they weren't getting to the song. And I was like, come on, get to the song! What is happening? And then the stage opens up.
That's why it happened.
And Eminem is there to do Lose Yourself live, you guys.
That was exciting.
Am I the only one that thought that was such a great moment?
I'm always critical towards Eminem in 2020. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it came off well.
Everybody seemed to be singing along.
And also it was like finally felt like it was an upbeat. To watch people even kind of dancing and clapping at the Oscars, you just don't see it.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
And to see everybody, you know, with the words and the audience enjoying was awesome. By the way, he won for Best Original Song for Lose Yourself 17 years ago. He wasn't at the award ceremony. Had someone else accept his Oscar. So he put, look, if you have another shot, another opportunity, thanks for having me at the Academy. Sorry it took me 18 years to get there. See, because you only have one shot. Do not miss your chance.
I don't care.
Loathe the opportunity. He had two shots, so.
All right.
So the song's wrong.
So the song's
I did
lie.
Like it until she explained that. Now I'm sort of back in the what is Eminem doing camp.
I thought it was such a nice break. Like in the middle of the Oscars, all of a sudden, Eminem concert breaks out.
Was that, did anyone hear even rumors of that? That was well kept secret.
Yeah, he was in town. I think we talked about 50 Cent getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
Right.
He was in town for that. And then I think there was sort of like, he's still here. Like someone had sort of said online, maybe he was working on an album or something. And then this popped up, so.
Well, I loved
great.
It.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Loved it.
It was fun.
And, you know, the issues he had had in the past with saying some homophobic stuff. And then Elton John kind of took him under his wing and was like, yo, that's not how you talk about people. probably with a British accent. But they posed for pictures together last night, too. So it just seemed like everybody's growing up. Joaquin Phoenix, growing up, you hated it. I did like the part about redemption in his speech, and I thought that was great.
Was nice.
That he was a scoundrel.
Say he was a scoundrel.
And if he brings the word scoundrel back.
Yes, who uses that word?
God bless him. What? Because that's such a good word. I'm such a scoundrel. It's like rascal. I love that word. Oh, you rascal.
I mean,
right?
It makes you sound like you're like a angry pirate, but sure. I mean, I think he did well there. And then when he started, I think we're going to get into it later, but.
Yeah,
I didn't
want to hear about cow insemination.
Something about a cow.
Yeah, that was a little much.
Very confused.
Read the study.
I'd rather not.
I actually sent you all a message. I'm like, open up a blog. Just seemed like a lot. Kevin, you had a busy weekend of trying to not be sick anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I assume you didn't see a movie at the box office.
I did not.
Wow. Okay.
Hurt me.
Did it? Because you would have seen Birds of Prey.
Yep.
Fell short of expectations, posting $33.2 million in their opening weekend. That is the worst start for a DC Comics adaptation since Jonah Hex in 2010. What the heck is Jonah Hex?
No, not a good movie.
I'm sorry, but $33 million seems good.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs a ton
good,
to make,
but,
I think is what
did it. Yeah, and I think expectations of any DC or Marvel movie are going to be
especially
higher than most.
With a property people know. Jonah Hex came out of nowhere. So this is like they knew the character.
Jonah Hex went back to nowhere, too.
Yeah. Also,
the Hex, I mean.
I guess this is supposed to be good.
Yeah, people that have seen it said it is.
Why do you say it
awesome.
That way?
Because Suicide Squad was so bad.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I've heard this is good, and it still didn't make a ton of money, which is annoying. Because I would have liked to see more comic book movies that are good make money, and doesn't seem like the case.
I'm sorry,
but I will go see it.
Yeah,
are you,
maybe
you
we'll
planning
like,
to go see it?
Yeah, okay, for sure. Okay. I want to see it.
I want to support it.
100%.
Excellent. Coming in second, Bad Boys for Life, $12 million in its fourth weekend. Third, 1917 with $9 million. Fourth, A Doolittle with $6.6 million. And then, I mean, it just won't go away. Jumanji, The Next Level, in its ninth weekend, still making money, grossing $5.5 million.
I love it!
Oh, well, I'm so proud, and I love it as well. Some birthdays for you. Laura Dern.
Oh,
she had a big night last night.
Just do it. I mean, it seems like this is her week.
I mean, it's her year.
Yeah, it's
true.
She did
say this is a nice birthday gift.
Oh, okay. The Independence...
From the stage.
Did she?
Yes.
Excellent.
The Independent Spirit Awards also had a huge celebration of her.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm going to say it right now. It's the best award ceremony out there.
It's very good.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it right now.
Right.
Usually it's Mulaney and Kroll hosting, and I dig it. But Aubrey Plaza hosted, and she was wonderful.
She was.
For the second time. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Elizabeth Banks, Emma Roberts, Chloe Grace Moretz, Stephanie Beatrice, Uzo Aduba, and singer of Pierce the Veil, Vic Fuentes. Not
Victor?
Victor Fuentes. Different guy. But a great singer nonetheless. And that's what's happening.
I got to tell you, I think the reason I liked the Oscars as much as I did is because I was watching something else and I gave it like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can fast forward. That's the key.
It's the key.
Get through commercials, get through stuff you don't want to watch.
Yeah. Right.
That's the key.
You don't like it's the important. In memoriam. You don't want to see dead.
Although Billie Eilish singing was great.
She was.
That was really a good song.
She's the best.
Steve Martin came out, which I was very excited about, with Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking today, Chris, that we both have hosted the Oscars before, and this is such an incredible demotion. They don't really have hosts anymore. Why is that?
Twitter! Hey, everybody's got an embarrassing tweet somewhere. Yeah. I know I do.
Now, a couple of years ago, there was a big disaster here at the Oscars where they accidentally read out the wrong name, and it was nobody's fault, but they have guaranteed that this will not happen this year because the Academy has switched to the new Iowa Caucus app.
That sounded to me like the biggest laugh of the night. Like, that was genuinely funny.
Steve Martin is my GOAT. Greatest of all time. Host, kills it. I know a lot of people have Billy Crystal or Kimmel. Steve Martin's my guy.
I mean, it's hard to argue Steve Martin.
The best.
But what a night!
Yeah, I don't know, Steve. I'm a little conflicted, you know? I was driving here tonight and seeing the terrible homeless problem in L.A.
Thank you, Chris. So many stars.
That genuinely made me laugh.
When you see that, does it think you want to host?
Yes.
No.
Really?
Steve Martin, yes.
For me, no.
It depends on who it is. 100% depends on who it is.
I thought when that and then the Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph. But when I saw all those, I went, I know that one bit is a lot different than doing 30 over a night, but it just made me miss outlandishly funny people coming back and, you know, coming in and out of the show.
It made me happy that they could do it in such small chunks and really shine.
You think that was better?
That was absolutely better than struggling for a 4-hour show.
And staying fresh.
This is Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig.
Okay, the nominees for Best Costume Design are...
Wait. That's it? We can't just skip right to the award.
You're right. So much goes into costume design. What else should we say?
Well, maybe we don't say it.
Maybe we sing it.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. And one of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over. You've got the look, you've got the look. Sure enough to be cooking in my Adidas. Oh, devil with a blue dress, blue dress, blue dress. Devil with a blue dress on Blueberry Hill. Bo, Greta Garbo, Adam Rowe, Dietrich and Lady in Red. Cheek to cheek, and a thong, 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 thong.
You can leave your hat on.
I mean, come on.
Their faces during it's genius. They were so good.
They were so good.
So good.
The surprise of the night? Didn't hear a rumor of it.
Nothing.
No heads up. It was a really good surprise. And everybody there seemed to totally be into it.
I thought it was the best part of the night. And that audience finally woke up.
Yeah.
And they were enjoying the hell out of it. So was everyone at home.
And most Oscar performances are of sad songs from movies.
Yeah, true.
Like, you know, Disney.
Usually downers. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this was an opportunity for people to actually clap and dance. And that looked cool in the audience.
Loved it.
And then Ray Romano, who was in The Irishman, got up.
Listen, all joking aside, I do want to say I saw firsthand how talented hair and makeup people are. And The Irishman, they would transform us every day. I would just sit there and be amazed. Mm-hmm. And then Pesci would come in and say, "Get the f*** out of my chair, Deborah."
I don't think they're going to believe that. Not everything is Netflix, Ray.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That was clearly...
Weird that he said Deborah.
That was Muggs.
That was Muggs. Yeah. That was not him.
Oh.
But he did say, "Get the f*** out of my chair."
This is actually Ray.
Okay, good.
It's actually Ray.
And then Pesci would come in and say, "Get the f*** out of my chair."
I mean, that's awesome.
Ray Romano, known as Everybody Loves Ray, sort of the mainstream network comedian, decided to say the F word on live television. That is a decision he made to go off script. I am shocked by it. You know him well. Is this something you would see him doing?
He will sit there and work out punchlines and all of them, and then he'll just go, he'll judge it up. He tries to be objective. Mm-hmm. This is the funniest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know him, he couldn't come up with anything funnier.
So he went with it.
Love it. Sandra Oh's face.
It was so great.
Amazing.
It was so great. But I would suggest watch it on delay so you can fast forward. That's the key right there.
That's the key.
Of the Oscars in general.
It was a great Oscars for me.
And Parasite winning all the awards. Kevin and I are super fans. People did not see it coming. I feel like we rarely get an opportunity to say we think the best movie for sure won.
Agreed.
And that was our feeling.
Remember when the Oscars were trying to highlight their app of predictions and they posted their winners?
Yes. Oh, yes. Were they the winners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Across the board?
Oh, I don't know across the board, but
Parasite was the best picture.
And people were like, well, that's
so
weird.
They tweeted that out last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see.
Weird.
I'm going to look at what it was.
We should compare them and see if they actually sent out the list.
It'd be amazing.
I think we definitely know Parasite was it, right? Let's see. Accidentally tweets. Let's figure it out. This was not like the winners. It was listed as predictions, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay. So,
but were they the winners?
Brad Pitt was the winner.
Yes.
Right. Okay. We have Parasite as the winner. Directing Sam Mendes was a loss.
Okay. That's a loss. Okay. So that's
Best Supporting Actress, Laura Dern, winner.
Yep. Sure.
Okay. Foreign film, Parasite. That was obvious. Sound editing. Do you have that one?
Sound editing.
I think Ford it was Ford versus Ferrari. So this has 1917. Okay. So, I mean, there were some original score Joker. That is a win. Joaquin Phoenix win. Renee Zellweger win. Adapted screenplay. Jojo Rabbit win. Originals. I mean, it's mostly wins.
I think if you're the Oscars, you don't want to put out a list that's 80%, 90% right.
You really don't.
No. That seems really bad form.
Yeah.
It is about 80, 90% right. Yeah.
That's not ideal.
A true spoiler alert.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, Allie.
What's happening?
Hey, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jensen.
Huh?
So I don't notice these things, but other people do to fill me in. But there tends to be somebody left out of the In Memoriam every year.
That's sad.
It's like they don't double, triple, quadruple check.
Sure seems like they would.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like a very important segment that you would. Exactly.
At this point, after making that many mistakes, I would also just go through all of the records of dead people in California.
Right.
It would be a main focus, someone's only job to not miss.
Yes. They missed a pretty big one last night that was in an Oscar awarded, Oscar nominated movie across the board. This gentleman was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Hmm. He was also one of the biggest stars at one point. On a show called 90210.
Yeah.
And it was Luke Perry. They forgot Luke Perry. What's going on?
No! No! Oh, God!
You're right. There has to be one person that they all, as soon as they find out, they all turn and look at that person.
Right? And they're just like, well, let's see your notebook.
Luke Perry. Oh, shoot. How do you not get Luke Perry?
Have a big whiteboard in your office.
Yes.
And just every time someone dies that's famous, write it up on the board and then deal with it at the end of the year. Look at me.
That makes
sense. There's got to be a better system.
It's producing
than that.
The Oscars.
Okay,
take an abacus. You guys know an abacus, right? And every time someone dies, move one of the little pearls
That's
down.
That's a pretty big miss.
You know that somebody has to clean that room at some point,
the
and
board.
Then they erase the whiteboard.
Where's Luke Perry? Someone erase Luke Perry.
Yeah, that's a big miss.
It is.
Yeah.
He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, it was up for an
Awards,
Oscar.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, not a good situation. I didn't like it.
Not good.
I don't
that
like
sucked.
I say I didn't like it. I just found out today because I don't pay attention to that.
I mean,
kind of stuff.
I don't know who does, but I guess people do. And then they tip you off on Twitter.
That seems like an easy one, though. Like
it does.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
when you hear those, you go, "Oh, I wouldn't have seen that," but I would have noticed Luke Perry, even if most famous for TV.
Yeah,
he's been in movies and in one that's nominated.
Absolutely.
Am I a bad person for watching Billie Eilish perform because I thought she was amazing and not paying attention to the names that were going by?
No.
Okay.
I think you're okay.
She was amazing.
Yeah, her and Phineas up there doing a cover of the Beatles yesterday. I have to say, though, as soon as I realized it was yesterday, I was like, oh, no, don't cover the Beatles. People will just be mad to be mad because it's the Beatles.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it was really good.
It was good.
I did enjoy her face during the Maya Rudolph
that was
and
good.
Kristen Wiig. She caught herself on the camera. So she was smiling, laughing at them, and then she sees that she's up on the big screen and kind of made this face like, ugh, get off of me.
Why am I up there?
But people are like, oh, look at this little brat making that face, like an okay boomer face. No, she was doing it at herself. She was looking at herself like, why am I on the screen? Stop it. People got to leave her alone. People are getting mad at her for really dumb things.
People are just making memes at this point. Martin Scorsese kind of dozing off during...
He literally blinked. During Eminem's thing, and people were like, oh, he hated it. Look at how much he hated it. He was blinking his eyes.
Yeah.
Which he does a lot.
Well, yeah, I think as a
Because his eyebrows are heavy.
They really are. Things falling off all the time. Ugh. You guys, we finally kind of have an idea of what happened with Pamela Anderson's marriage.
Wow. Mm.
She blames her failed 12-day marriage on openness. She's just too open.
What?
Here's the thing. She was coming back from a month-long spiritual cleanse in India.
Pam Anderson?
And her heart was just too open. So he said, do you want to get married? She's like, yeah, without even really thinking about it. Because, again, her heart was just too open, you guys.
That's not a thing.
Month-long spiritual cleanse in India. But what went wrong, you might ask? She found Peters to be overbearing and obsessed with fame. He started to make calls about her career and cast her in a movie that he was working on that she didn't even want. She wanted to maintain her financial independence. Again, just too open. Her heart's too open.
She just loves too much.
She loves too much. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about all of this, they never finalized their paperwork, so they were able to just walk away. So that won't count as a real marriage, right?
I mean, no.
So there you go. So she's still at 4, guys. She's still at 4.
4+. That Let's give her a 4+.
4+?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she's going to lose her house!
I don't think that's involved at all. I think she wanted to maintain her financial independence, and that was part of the problem. Guys, if you love love and you love beer, boy, do I have something for you. How about a Bud Light heart-shaped box for your significant other for Valentine's Day? It's available on the Anheuser-Busch gift shop website. It's only going to run you $25. And the box reads, roses are red, Bud Light is blue. Come have a beer with me. Or maybe two. You guys.
How romantic.
Some chick is going to get this.
Yeah.
And be like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Here's my favorite part of the story. The beer is sold separately.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm just buying a box?
You're just buying a heart-shaped box.
Come on.
What?
Bud Light, what's going on? Throw some beers in there.
Yeah, it costs like a dollar tops, yeah. If that even. A couple cents.
The beer is sold separately.
Oh.
So, I mean, do what you got to do, right? Oh. Okay. Mm-mm. Some birthdays for you. Laura Dern, Elizabeth Banks, Uzo Aduba, Stephanie Beatrice, Vic Fuentes from Pierce the Veil, and Chloe Grace Moretz. And that's what's happening.
Great news. Next. The news sucks pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So on Monday mornings, we like to do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. But we'll try to make that feeling go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
I'll start it off. This is a story about a 13-year-old boy named Logan out of Hudsonville, Michigan. Like many kids his age, all he wanted was a puppy of his own. Unfortunately, his dad had horrible allergies, never being able to have a pet in the house. The sad thing about this is for 9 years, Joe, his father, battled myeloma cancer, and he passed away in January 2020 at the age of 47 years old. But before he died, he came up with a very special surprise for his beloved son, one that he's done a lot of surprises for, and here's Logan in his own voice.
He always had these cool things planned out. He tried to keep them like secrets and stuff until we were there. Turned everything into like a good, happy thing.
So when Joe learned he would lose his battle with cancer, he asked his wife Melanie to help him with one more surprise.
This was his that he had planned it out with me before he had passed away. He said, make sure to get Logan a dog because I know that'll bring him a lot of comfort. And it actually brought comfort to our whole family, not just Logan.
Joe passed away on January 8th, and 5 days later, on Logan's 13th birthday, the family went to pick up a dog for Logan's cousin.
We stopped at a gas station so I could hold him for the rest of the way home. And then my cousin hands the dog to me and said, "It's from your dad. This is yours."
The moment brought Logan to tears.
Really?
Yes. He's yours.
Really?
I swear to God. Dad wanted you to have a puppy.
It is the most precious video of this little boy who's, like, you could see his heart drop and then just swell all at the same time. It is wonderful, and what an amazing dad to know he's about to pass.
And plan stuff for later.
And plan things for later. And, I mean, the mom said it brought comfort to the whole family. And the dog is so cute. It's just a little Boston Terrier puppy. It is so beautiful. We'll post the video because this little boy, Logan, is just all kinds of precious. And it's just a beautiful thing that as something as sad as your dad passing away can be made just a smidge better by having a memory of him with something that you've always wanted. And that's my great news. Sorry about the tears.
My dad left me a dresser. It was all... It's kind of
it's not as good.
Terrible bummer.
It isn't as good.
All right. Sometimes things happen in the universe that are hard to
explain.
Hold on,
Jensen. It's happening.
Okay. Keep her away from the mic.
That's horrible.
Listen, the universe is hard to explain. We know this. right?
Yes.
Stars align sometimes. Life finds a way for good things to happen. And earlier this month, it would be hard not to see a specific trip on an Indianapolis Brew Tour bus to be anything but cosmically spectacular. So, you know, they have these, like, touristy, drink some beer on a tour and see the city. Okay, so that's what happens on this one, where driver Rex Scott was working, despite the fact that he was originally not even scheduled for the weekend. When Joyce Smith and three of her friends who were there for a wedding took the tour, it was a last-minute idea to have fun. They had other plans that fell through, and they decided to go on this tour. And as they left the bus for the day, the driver, Rex, offhandedly joked that he also took kidneys as a tip. And it caught their attention. It's still very strong. Well, why is that? And they started to get into a discussion. They found out it's because his wife, Valerie Scott, has polycystic kidney disease. Her kidneys are now the size of small footballs and losing function. Mm. Her mother had the same disease, and she had received a kidney transplant 17 years ago, and she was able to stay alive for that. And now her daughter would need the same exact thing. And it takes just a willing donor. But beyond that, it has to be a match in both blood type and six antigens, which is not easy to find.
That's rough.
Extremely difficult. And yes, the perfect stranger who completely matched was a woman who barely heard the joke from the tour bus driver on a tour they decided to go on because their initial plan fell through, Valerie Smith.
Wow.
And it should be no surprise that she is so selfless. This only adds to the coincidence of this fated day. Between natural-born adopted fosters and guardian children, she and her husband have 9 kids, including one who was a kidney transplant recipient 6 years ago. And her dad had just gotten the gift in the form of a liver transplant as well. So this woman was like the exact perfect person to have on that bus to hear that joke. Yeah. And now the transplant has happened and both women are just a little bit sore and feeling great. Valerie has already seen a difference in her health, feeling more active and with less pain. And she can't deny something else was at play. Let's listen to her.
Whether you believe in God or not, somebody had a hand in this. There's no way this would have ever worked out otherwise.
Absolutely. And so now she just heals and enjoys an incredible act from a random person who was on her husband's bus. Heard a joke and took it serious.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that incredible?
That's awesome.
Pretty incredible circumstances, and that's why it's my great news!
Good read.
Thank you.
Sound like a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
In Vancouver, there is Franklin Elementary School, 385 students enrolled, and they have a kindness week for many years, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
A kindness week. That was started by the school counselor, Lisa DeNuro. And here's the story of a little kid who decided to do something for Kindness Week.
8-year-old Keone Ching, a second grader at Franklin Elementary in Vancouver, holding a check that's bigger than he is.
It's for raising money for school lunch debt.
Keone wanted to do something big for Kindness Week at his school. Inspired by Richard Sherman paying off debt at 2 schools, he knew that was it. So he started making and selling keychains at $5 a pop.
$5 a pop to try and pay this off.
People don't have a packed lunch and they don't have enough lunch money. They will starve.
Schools in Washington and Oregon have to provide a lunch to a child regardless of whether they can pay. And that debt adds up. So back to that big check.
How much money did you raise?
Okay, if I could just say that's a dumb question because he's holding an oversized check.
Uh-huh. And is it written
with
on it?
With the number right there.
Okay.
Right.
Look right here.
He says, look right here.
He's like, you're an idiot,
look,
dude.
Moron.
I
right
have
here.
A huge check.
This check is bigger than me. I'm a child.
How much money did you raise?
Look right here.
$4,015. How many keychains did you make?
We don't know.
Don't make him do math, for God's sakes. It's about 80. Take it easy, dude.
Get off his neck.
The guy is making bracelets and selling them.
I'm a hero.
What's
you can
happening?
Read. Yeah.
You don't know you ran out of counting?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great Kevin question right there. I love that.
you ran out of counting.
What?
You don't know you ran out of counting?
I mean, even the way he, just his inflection, I hate him.
He's a terrible reporter.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's gone crazy.
What's crazy is that an 8-year-old is taking care of this big problem.
We're fortunate that Keone decided to focus on a specific problem, and then he exceeded his goals, and now he's going to go and support not only Franklin, but other schools in our district as well. We feel really happy about that.
So he raised over $4,000, paid off his own school, and then like 3 others.
It's very cute.
By himself.
He shouldn't have to do that.
He shouldn't
What
have
were
to
you
do
doing
that.
When you were 8, Kevin?
I mean, I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Right.
So I wasn't nearly as good a kid as this. Mm-hmm. And that's why that's my great news. Oscar De La Hoya has joined us in the studio.
Yeah. Hey.
How about that?
Happy to have him.
What's up, guys?
How you been?
I've been good, man.
It's been a while.
Good. It's been a second.
It has.
It has, yeah.
What do you got going on?
Fights. Yes. Yeah, fights this Friday.
Valentine's Day, good.
Valentine's Day, yeah.
I want to go on record.
Valentine's Brawl.
Yes, I'll go on record. I am a huge Ryan Garcia fan.
Are you?
I have been following him via mostly social media.
Right, right.
I have been pushing to get this talked about on the show.
That's true.
Explain to people, other than the fact that he looks like he's in a boy band,
right,
what is the difference between this kid and everyone else we've been told before as a prospect in boxing?
And he looks like the lead singer of a boy band. Yeah. Not the guy
not
playing the guitar
man.
In the back.
No,
yeah,
not the 40-year-old that like, helps them
the
on
drums,
tour.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
I actually discovered him in Victorville.
Really?
He contacted me by social media. He sends me a DM. You know, like,
no way.
Yeah, I slipped in the DM. Dude.
How many of those do you get, though? I mean, I assume a lot of people
do. That's pretty crazy.
And a lot of fighters are trying to get your attention. How did you
right,
do
yeah.
it?
Right, yeah. I mean, I saw his profile. I saw, like, he had all these followers already. And he kept on just insisting, like, dude, I want a meeting. And I loved his persistence, you know? And so one day I invited him to the office, and sure enough, I mean, everybody just loved him. And my question was, well, can this guy fight?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you punched him?
I punched him. I missed him because he was
missed,
so fast.
Okay.
Yeah. We tested him, and he passed with flying colors, and here we are. I mean,
he's an amazing boxer.
He is.
He's got a great personality, charming, handsome,
right,
young.
Yeah.
Did he remind you of anyone?
Obviously, Klitschko, brother.
What's that one movie with Will Smith and his and
Face Off?
No, Gemini Man.
Gemini Man.
Face Off.
What you don't know is that Ryan Garcia and Oscar De La Hoya have switched faces.
That's what I was thinking.
Very odd.
It's
edition.
Crazy. I was like, whoa. Reminds me of me, and
yeah.
you know, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And he can fight. That's like the important things. Like, so a lot of questions are out there, like, well, can he win a world title? Is he good enough? Da da da. He has all this hype and people love him, and can he fight?
Well,
and
it's difficult to know considering he can't get out of the first round without knocking someone
out. I know,
out.
Exactly. And we keep testing him. I fought him on the Canelo Alvarez card in Vegas as the co-main event. And I put him in against this really tough, tough kid, and he was supposed to go like 10 rounds. Knocks him out in like 50 seconds. I'm like, Jesus, now we have like an hour to kill. You know, like,
that's
just
why
ruined my night.
By the way, that's why he's so, I mean, he's obviously, he's a thirst trap himself. But on Instagram, it's great because you can see the whole fight in one post.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
They post the first, and also, he's so quick.
Right,
and I don't know if it's that.
Yeah,
I don't,
the Flash. They call him the Flash.
I don't know if it's that I don't know enough about his weight class, but the speed in which he punches,
right.
I've never seen anything like it.
He is fast, though. He reminds me of me. I
mean, you won a gold medal right out of high school, didn't you?
I did.
Barcelona,
like,
right?
Literally right out of high school.
What's the difference between you and Ryan and all other fighters that are good
at a young age?
Why are you successful? And why is he successful?
The gold medal. I mean, yeah, the gold medal did it for me.
Gave you the confidence?
Yeah. I mean, well, because, see, back then, when linear TV was like king, I guess, you know,
right.
now it's all streaming services and, you know, the digital platform. I mean, I was on NBC like every night. I was like on prime time. And then my story with my mother, she passed from breast cancer, and so I was doing it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the only one who won the gold, so on the American team. And so that was like huge news
that
worldwide.
Launched you.
It was like that global platform that everybody's like always wanting. So now,
did you know going into that fight that you were going to win, or were you just just like, I'm going to try my best, but
I'm going to try. And I had all this pressure because the story leading up to it was like to do it for my mother. And so imagine the pressure. I mean, I was only 18 years old. And so when I fought for the gold medal, I fought this German kid, right?
Yeah.
And he was the only kid that I lost to in the last like 10 years. So he had beaten me like 2 months prior to fighting in the Olympic Games.
Oh.
So I was facing him, and you can imagine the nerves. Yeah, I was petrified, obviously.
Do you feel it because of your experience, obviously, with that kind of pressure, and now you kind of have a kid who has the same sort of, like, golden boy era vibe?
Right.
Like, is your advice very helpful in that way to him?
Yeah. I actually love giving him advice because he's kind of living what I've been through, so to speak, you know?
Does he listen, or does he go,
No, he does. He's a good kid. He's a good kid, and he has a bright bright future, man. I really can't wait to see him just blossom and become world champion. And hopefully he can pass, I mean, all records that I broke or whatever, you know.
That doesn't bother you?
No,
you wanna, you don't want to hold records?
I want him to be, like, you know, successful, and I want him to grow and be
but
the
best. But can he be successful just below where you were?
Like, get yeah, right to
like,
the point.
Like, don't win 10 world titles, yeah. Just win 9.
Even 9 and a half.
That's still great. That's still great. Why not?
It'll be amazing. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, especially he's a California kid, and
so
I would love to see him succeed.
How did you pick Valentine's Day?
because of his looks, because of his, you know, because women love him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they adore him. They really do. He's so charming, you know. So I thought it was a perfect fit.
He looks like a YouTube star.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
Hey,
he
guys,
does.
Link and subscribe at the bottom or whatever. Like, that's tell people what DAZN is. So that's where you can see this fight. Right.
You can see it. It's a new digital platform, DAZN.
Excellent. We need another one.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the Netflix for sports.
Okay.
You have the biggest fights on DAZN now. Like, you can watch, like, Triple G, Canelo, Anthony Joshua versus Andy Ruiz, which was like a huge upset like last year.
They're gonna have a rematch, I'm sure, too soon.
Yeah, so you can watch the best fights all year, and it's you subscribe for like pennies on the dollar.
And where do you get it?
Pretty cool.
It's like an app.
So just so you know, that's how they pronounce
D-A-Z-N.
It.
Quickly, boxing has been in a weird state. Obviously, people like Ryan showing progress. Right. What are we going to do about these YouTube kids? Logan Paul and KSI and all these things. There are kids who have decided to become boxers, trained decently well, and seem to be kind of bringing boxing back. But at the same time, it's not the sport. It's a little different.
Yeah, no, it's different. It creates, I guess, attention to boxing, but It's not like my cup of tea. If they want to do it, fine. That's fine. I mean, they want to beat their brains in. I mean, that's fine.
and get paid for it.
They're not working with a lot to start, Oscar. So.
Yeah, no. But I guess they're creating attention for the sport, which is fine for me as a promoter.
Sure.
I don't mind it, but...
You're not looking to promote
those
guys.
No. Yeah. I love the real deal. I love fighters when they, like, you know, they were born to do this, you know?
And that's Ryan, man. That's Ryan Garcia.
Going to be fighting this Friday night at Honda Center, and you can buy tickets at Ticketmaster.com for $25.
That's it. Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like we're going to have a sellout. I mean, he'll fill in like 18,000 seats. It's crazy. And so hopefully if he wins, I have him scheduled at the Staples Center sometime in July.
Great.
So there's a plan for him. Hopefully he can, you know, continue and win, and hopefully we'll see a future world champion.
I would love to see
it. Very exciting. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Oscar.
Appreciate it.
Again, Billie Eilish covered the Beatles last night.
Yeah,
she did.
On the Oscars. It was great.
She's so good.
What was your first response, Allie?
I was terrified. As soon as I heard the first notes, I was like, not the Beatles. People are going to kill you. Don't cover the Beatles. And then I was like, just like everything, she makes it her own. And it's great.
She was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. 323-520-AFRO. Any topic is fine.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Sam. Sam who? I, Sam... You on the phone later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one.
There's not more.
Multiples.
Hold up.
Knock, knock. Who's there? You need who? You need me, such a beautiful scarf.
Unit me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, boy, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Another?
Sure.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Andrew who? Andrew on the wall. And... boy, is she in trouble. Knock, knock, who's there?
You think he understands even the basis of that joke?
He doesn't know the concept.
Because he ends it with knock, knock, who's there? And then he hangs up.
Yeah.
He's the best. That's what we're saying. Yes.
Hey, guys. Podcast listener here, so I wasn't able to call in when you had the earliest memory segment. But I heard it, and I had to call because I was born in 1988. I grew up listening to the show. And my older brother is 9 years older than me, so one of my earliest memories is my mom driving him to school, and I'm sitting in the back seat. They're in the front seat talking about the Kevin and Bean were lying scandal.
I don't know that we need to bring that back up.
Mark and Brian did.
With the call in and confess your crimes. That is literally one of my first memories ever, was listening to them talk about you guys. And I had no clue who they were talking about, but I really, really remember that.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
I mean, that was sad. Climbing that up. That was a thing.
Well, since she doesn't remember, it was Mark and Brian.
Yeah, it was Mark and Brian. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hey, I'm in class right now, and my teacher keeps talking about Earthquake Jaime, and I flipped, and I said, you mean Heimer?
Is it Heimer?
That's the thing where we're, ruining people's lives.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm listening to the podcast, and you guys are talking about sad movies, and you guys played the Lion King part, and I'm literally crying on my way to work. So I hate you guys. I love you guys, but I hate you so much right now. Just hearing little Simba be so upset. So thanks. Good morning.
Oh, sweetie.
We wrecked her.
Oh.
That's not what we want.
My name's Cameron Cates, and I'm in Ontario. And I think I have a new jingle for you guys here. Kevin in the mornings, Kevin in the evenings, Kevin at supper time. Hmm. With Kevin in the mornings with Allie and Jensen, you could eat Kevin anytime.
Mm-hmm. What?
Ew. Never mind, that doesn't work. Sorry, guys.
You tried.
Sir. It's a good effort, though. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, guys. This is Grace. I'm sitting here with my 8-year-old daughter, and she thought of a jingle. Here you go.
Kevin in the morning with Allie and Jensen.
She's a big fan of the show. We love you guys.
How cute is her little voice?
Very sweet.
I think we might have used that.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Do you like penis colada?
Allie, know what I'm saying?
Do you like penis colada?
He peeing at the same time, by the way?
I'm not positive. I'm not sure about that.
He also gave you your horse?
He did.
Trot. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Allie also had her brain leaking out her nose, mm-hmm. which was odd.
Hey, Allie. I wouldn't mind sucking on those sugary juices coming out of your body. Mm. Hell yeah.
Oh.
I mean.
That's not what you want.
That's not great.
Do we have to report that?
It's concerning.
At least he didn't call back. That's good.
Hey, good morning, guys. Talking about roadkill. Hey, Allie. I'd hit it and eat it. Mm. Hell yeah.
He ends everything with hell yeah.
Hey, guys. Don't you think it's ironic that Allie can't pronounce the word amphitheater? But if she wanted to, she could pronounce the word moist!
Sir, how dare you?
She does hate that word. She recoils when she hears that word.
Hey, Jensen, I just wanted to say, I love the new energy you're bringing. This, like, extreme eat-it-or-beat-it anger that you have is wonderful. I am sad that you're going to die of a massive coronary, like, in the near future on the radio. But I'm also looking forward to it, because that energy is amazing. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Is that a compliment?
I feel like it was backhanded sarcastic, but sure.
Hey, Jensen, just because you're married to Topanga doesn't mean you get street cred.
This doesn't give you street cred!
Sir, I regret bringing that drop to the table.
Hey, so, Kevin, you like Crocs. Just a thought. You guys should do some little cross-advertising. Just saying, great name for your line of Crocs. K-Rocks. Just saying.
Oh.
That man's in marketing.
Nice. I mean, it makes sense.
Well done.
And yet I got in trouble with my kids, so.
Oh, true.
I promised him I wouldn't work from outside.
Kevin got that apple bottom jeans. Crocs with the fur. The whole station looking at her. Oh, he hit the flow. Next thing you know, Kevin got low. This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Bringing back an oldie but goodie.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Hey, Allie.
What's happening?
Hey, guys. So Adam Sandler, and really anything from Uncut Gems, was pretty much left out of the Oscars.
It's unfair.
Correct. Which a lot of people were really upset by, because mm-hmm. it was a great movie.
Yes.
Well, don't you worry, because Adam Sandler jokingly hit back at the Oscars this weekend when he won the Film Independent Spirit Award for Best Male Lead on Saturday, and he celebrated with a very Adam Sandler-esque speech.
You know, a few weeks back when I was quote-unquote snubbed by the Academy, it reminded me when I briefly attended high school and was overlooked for the coveted yearbook superlative category Best Looking. That accolade was given to a jean jacket wearing featherhead douchebag by the name of Skipper Jenkins. But my classmate Spades did honor me with the allegedly less prestigious designation of best personality. And tonight, as I look around this room, I realize the Independent Spirit Awards are the best personality awards of Hollywood. So, let all those featherhead douchebag motherfuckers get their Oscars tomorrow night. Their handsome good looks will fade in time. While our independent personalities will shine on forever.
That's a good speech.
The audience was, it was like a sporting event, like standing up,
That's
cheering.
That's a great speech.
It was amazing.
And him going into the Cajun man voice.
Amazing.
He's so funny.
He had a great time. So did the Safdie brothers in their acceptance speech. It was just, that is one of the most fun award ceremonies.
When was that, Saturday?
Saturday afternoonish. Yeah.
That's the coveted Saturday afternoon slot?
Yeah.
Well.
It's like you're in town. Come on over to this. It's near the beach.
It's every star, though.
Yeah, they get everyone.
They get everyone at this. Hmm. It's a blast. It was very fun to watch. Kevin, I've got a Friends update.
Please. Is there a reunion?
So Matthew Perry finally joined Instagram. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. He was an instant hit. He gained 4.4 million followers in a single day. 4.4 million followers.
Those of you slaving away at Instagram.
I mean.
To get that extra 10 people to get to 1,000.
Yes, he didn't even do anything yet, right?
No.
He has two pictures.
One is a video of him, and it says, "This is how thrilled I am to be on Instagram." So here we go. That was 3 days ago.
Okay.
Then 2 days ago, it's him with some plastic-looking puppet thing, and it says, "Think I got a shot with her?" I mean, the comedy.
Wow.
Comedy.
How does he do it?
I don't know how he does it. Also, 11 mutual friends. My friends are following him. So,
you have 11 mutual friends?
Yeah. One works here at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm. Do you need to cut him out?
Shift after us. We might need to cut her out of our lives.
Okay.
My cousin Katie. I mean, what are you doing, Katie?
What are you doing, cousin Katie?
Right.
Does this mean the reunion is on?
Obviously.
Right.
Obviously. That's but great. It's not a reunion.
It's just a hangout.
Just a hangout.
Hey, you guys remember when we did Friends?
Hour.
Yeah.
It's a director's commentary.
Wasn't that fun? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's essentially like,
it is.
Joke, that's essentially what
they're
it's
going to
be.
They're going to show clips and then they'll talk about the clips. It's going to be awesome.
And they're going to get paid about $4 million each for that.
Remember that time we were at that coffee shop?
By the way, I guarantee you that's the set they do it in. I mean, it's not even a question,
they've
right?
They've got to be at Central Park.
Have to do it in Central Park, yeah.
I feel like they also have to visit their apartments, though.
Like, don't, like, do a walkthrough?
Let's not get crazy.
Absolutely.
Man.
That's a lot of work
I wonder if they have
them.
Enough money.
I think they can do it. Hey, Phoebe, remember when you used to sing Smelly Cat? And then she'll pull out a guitar and be like, remember?
Oh, that's 3 million more. That's 3 million more. Just to get her to sing?
Song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's just showing up and talking right now.
You're probably right.
You're all getting what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good for them. That's all I'm saying. So the California Lottery thought that gifting the audience of Ellen DeGeneres' talk show $212,500 worth of scratcher tickets was a fun way to drum up publicity. It was during her 12 days of giveaways holiday promos.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody in the audience got 72 scratcher tickets. It's a face value of $500 per packet. So, I mean, $212,500 of lottery tickets that you gave away is kind of a problem because a lot of people reported that. They saw the show and they're like, hello, that money goes back to education. What are you doing giving these all to random people in Ellen's audience? So, State Senator Ling-Ling Chang, who's a Republican, has asked an auditor to look into the giveaway after a whistleblower's concerns, you guys. In 1984, California voters approved the lottery with the stipulation that 34% of sales revenue would go towards education. So,
it does seem like perhaps they missed that $212,000.
Mm-hmm. Seems like maybe you could have just given a couple.
Too late. Trolls are in motion.
Do you think they could have gotten away by just being like, yeah, we paid a donation to the school? I mean, they obviously didn't, but that seems like the easiest answer.
Simple.
Yeah.
As they were writing the check right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we totally did this.
We totally did it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll cash in 3 days, but we totally did it ahead of time, you guys. This is the greatest news to come out of Netflix possibly ever.
All right.
And I'm a huge Netflix fan.
Yeah.
They've heard the cries of the people. They have finally stopped autoplay on previews for stuff you scroll over, you guys.
Yay!
The brand tweeted, some people find this feature helpful. Others, not so much. We've heard the feedback loud and clear. Members can now control whether or not they see autoplay previews on Netflix.
Is that a big problem?
It was so annoying.
It didn't bother me.
Oh, it annoyed me.
It only happens if you stay on, if your mouse is over one of them for a little bit, right?
Oh, no. Like a second.
For like half a second.
Yeah,
all of a sudden it's showing you a trailer.
As long as it's the one you stopped on, basically.
Yeah. So if you're scrolling and you stop for half a second to see something, it's like...
The Great American Bake Off! It's just like screaming.
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm not stopping on The Great American Bake Off.
Well, I mean, I accidentally...
For the record.
Such a good show.
Well, folks, it is official. The streaming wars have begun.
All right. Thanks for that update.
Yeah.
I am happy this has stopped.
Yeah. So you can just go and go to your profile and then...
All right.
Disconnect the autoplay.
I'm not against it.
Disconnect.
Someone loves getting autoplay.
Yeah. What's up with you and autoplay?
Someone just
Kevin?
Loves hearing things he hasn't asked for.
Sounds real creepy. I don't know. Some birthdays for you. Laura Dern, Elizabeth Banks, Emma Roberts, Vic Fuentes.
So much information, man.
Not Victor Fuentes.
Oh.
It's Vic Fuentes from Pierce the Veil.
No.
Also, Uzo Aduba. Mm? Why did I say Uzu? Uzo Aduba, Stephanie Beatrice, and Emma Roberts. And that's what's happening.
The bad boy of the Oscars, Ray Romano next.
Listen, all joking aside, I do want to say I saw firsthand how talented hair and makeup people are. And The Irishman, they would transform us every day. I would just sit there and be amazed. And then Pesci would come in and say,
get the f*** out of my chair, Deborah.
I think they're going to bleep that. Not everything is Netflix, Ray.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The bad boy of the Oscars, you guys.
The bad boy.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, he's there. He's there.
He's there.
Oh. What if he hung up to be a real bad boy?
Hey, Ray Romano.
Hey, effer.
Now, did Dave warn you before you came on that you can't be all willy-nilly cussing?
Yeah, but they warned me at the Oscars, too.
Listen.
Oh, unpredictable Ray Romano.
We want to know the thought process that went into finally saying that word, because you would only do that if you thought it was the funniest punchline, right?
Well, the thought process was about a week of stress and anxiety and driving my wife crazy, because that's how I do anything anyway. But it was I was so happy when it was over.
Because you didn't know how it was going to be received?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, they gave us some copy. First of all, when I found out I'm presenting, that was nerve-wracking. And then it was like kind of a good, great thing. But then I knew this is a week and a half of work right now because I'm going to have to be funny, say something funny. And they're going to write stuff, and it's okay, but it's not, and they wrote stuff, and I just said, okay, I got to come up with something. And then I email all my guys, my boys, and I'm like, help me. And one of my ex-writer friends came up with the idea of...
You can't say
Ray Romano!
No, that was for real. That was for real.
Yeah, we know. What's wrong with you?
Ray Romano works blue. No one can stop him.
He's
Sam Kinison of our generation.
We got a delay. We're good.
All right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was at the Madonna party last night. No, I wasn't. I was at the Vanity Fair. But they came up with
can't control this, man.
Yeah. Wants everyone to know that. I love you, Ray Brown.
No, I wish I was at the Madonna. I would have bragged about that. Yeah, so then I had to work it in, and I said, oh, that's kind of funny. I called Joe Pesci, and I told him about it because I know him from my golf course. I said, I want to get a clearance first from Joe. And I did that. And then I had to work the opening bit. And, I mean, it was to the point where, like, I don't know how much you remember about the bit, but she comes out and says that line about hair and makeup being so important to film.
Yes,
case in point, and she goes, I'm 87 years old. And I had written at 87 years old, and she changed it to 92. Mm-hmm. And I was obsessing over that.
No, you weren't.
87
yes,
is
because
funnier,
92
right?
is... First of all, 90, if you make it too old, like if you say, case in point, I'm going to exaggerate, I'm 200 years old.
Right.
It's not funny.
Not
it's
funny.
Like, it's goofy. And then if you can't make it too young, you can't say I'm 61 years old. So what's the number? And I thought 87 was right on the line. And some reason, 92 felt you'd taken a little bit away from it. And
you were upset about her changing it 5 years.
Yes, and also 87 has an extra syllable to it. It has more meat on it, you know. And right, I didn't want to, you know, I mean, I love, she's lovely.
Of course.
And she was very good. But I didn't want to get in her head. But as we were standing in the stage there, ready to go, I said, I got to give it one try. And I threw 87 at her again. She had 92 written on the
counter. Oh, really?
Yeah. And I go, I think it's a little funny. And she, I couldn't tell, you know, if she was going to do it or not. And she goes, she said it a couple times. She goes, I go, yeah, well, feel it out.
And, as they're walking on stage.
Yeah, and she did 87. And then it was, what name do I say? Because I'm supposed to say, I'm Charlize Theron.
Yes.
First of all, the original one we had was Margot Robbie, mm-hmm. and I'm Margot Robbie. And that just has a funny sound to it. But then Margot Robbie was up for an award before us. So I said, oh, we were already going to have heard the
this
word
This is the
Margot
kind of
Robbie.
Torture that Ray goes through for an eight-second bit.
I'm telling you, it's the, you know, when I've presented before on the Emmys and whatever, and it's like hours of work, 100 hours of work. And this is the Oscars, you know?
Right.
But Margot Robbie, the name was came up before, so I went, Gal Gadot. That's a funny sound, and she's in the audience. And then I thought, Gal Gadot, I'll pronounce it wrong, Gal Gadot. And then people were telling me, no, it's blah, blah, blah. And then Charlize Theron, and by the way, you can pronounce Charlize Theron. It's Theron, not Theron. And I thought, well, you know, because she did go through a transformation in Bombshell, you know, she made her look like Megyn Kelly, so it would kind of be funny. And
it was funny.
So
they cut to,
they
cut to her. It was
funny. Sounds like torture.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
And then the F bomb. You know, we wrote it as "Get your ass out of my chair" because that's how the Academy wouldn't allow us to say the F bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what was on the prompter, and she had those lines after. You know, this is not Netflix, right? And that doesn't work if I say, get your ass out of my chair.
Yeah, you can
and
say
so
that.
She said, so we had, she goes, are you going to say it? And I go, I'm going to call, feel it out, you know. And
so you didn't
goes,
even
okay,
know
you
when you walked out there, you didn't know you were going to say it.
No, because I figured if the first line didn't get a laugh, if me saying I'm Charlize Theron didn't get a laugh,
you
bailed? Then I shouldn't push it and say, then I'm trying too hard with the F-bomb. And so the first line got a laugh and. I said, all right, let's do it. by the way, do you know in Australia they don't bleep it? Like someone sent me.
Oh yeah, the
someone
footage.
Sent me the clip from Australia because they don't bleep in Australia, so it got out there in Australia.
Good times.
I was going to ask you if you've seen it because Sandra Oh's reaction is it's amazing. It's so good, Ray.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen it. Yeah, yeah. Why? It looks. Did she look startled?
Yes, absolutely.
Of course.
Well, that's how good an actress she is. Yeah.
So Ray, what happens when you go backstage? Like, what do people? Do you get reprimanded?
Well, I was all over that. By the way, I called my agent and I called my publicist and I go, "You sure?" And they go, "Yeah, why not? They'll believe it." And I go, "What about backstage after?"
Mm-hmm.
Is someone going to grab me by the collar and
throw you out?
The FCC.
Am I going to get somebody fired, you know? And no, they were, you know, they're so busy. I'm over there and they're ushering Elton John somewhere,
sure.
You know, or whatever. No one even kind of heard it probably at that moment because they're so busy doing everything else.
Well, Ray, I'd like to say that you putting that much work into it, I wish everyone did.
Same.
I wish everybody that came out there put that much work into it.
Because award show patter is disgusting.
Yes.
Well, but everyone, you know, when they get an actor to present, you know, comedy isn't what they made their living on, and they just do what's written out there.
Yeah.
But look at Chris, like I saw Kristen Wiig backstage afterwards, and we talked about it. And, you know, her and, I don't know how much you saw of
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, yeah,
they did a whole bit.
Yeah.
And they had to come up with that, and they had to plan that and figure it out because, you know, they're comedians.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do. So they've, but a dramatic actor, you know, he doesn't have time to spend a week on it like I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Ray, I know you're not on social media, so I know you wouldn't know about this, but on Twitter last night, you like blew up the social media app. People were very into you. You've become a bit of a sex symbol.
Yeah, there was
Do you know this is a thing? You're a thirst trap.
I saw my kid sent me one that says, from Vulture, that says, shocked the Oscars with his hotness.
Yes!
And his F-bomb.
I
sent them a picture of me from a couple days ago. Like, I guess they didn't see this picture, you know, me in my underwear with my little gut sticking out.
Ray, I've got to read this one to you. This is a man named Chase Mitchell who said, funny story about Ray Romano. I worked with him on a bit at The Tonight Show like 5 years ago. He showed up in a leather jacket and every single woman on staff was like, God damn. I guess I'd do Ray Romano.
What the heck?
But then, there's a response from someone you know and we know, a friend of the show, who you worked on a movie called The Big Sick with. And she wrote, while we were filming The Big Sick, I would take photos of the monitors every time Romano looked hot. I have a lot of photos.
Is that Kumail's wife?
It's Emily. And she said, I'm only saying this because he's not on social media.
Let me tell you what this is.
Yeah.
This is the goofy guy who for a split second doesn't look as goofy. That's all it is.
Listen, you can't
fight the heat.
Yeah. Nope. You can't contain your hotness, Ray.
Let me tell you something. Last night when Jake Gyllenhaal was talking to my wife, it was like I didn't exist.
Of course.
Yeah, people would come by and say hello to me, and I would say, listen, I'd introduce you to my wife, but as of now, no one else is in the room except her and Jake Gyllenhaal, you know?
Well,
listen,
we're
just saying that you're incredibly hot. That's our point.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you saw me now, I'm pacing in my baggy underwear right now in my closet.
Nurse trap right
around. By the way, I was telling the day before, I was at the Oscars, I was at Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Yeah.
You know, this is the week of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and I don't know how much you know about it.
You must have not made
the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you make the cut, you play on Sunday.
Right.
And this is the biggest week of my life for the Pebble Beach. I wait for it all year. And my wife, you know, is so excited. She's going to the Oscars. She got the dress. She got everything. She goes, if you make the cut, you cannot play on Sunday. And I said,
Has she met you?
That's what I said. That goes against everything I live for. And she had the whammy on me, and, you know, I would have had to play the last round in my tux and then jump on the plane. But
you're saying you didn't make the cut because she had a whammy on you?
Well, that's part of it. Part of it. I suck, too, in golf, but she was rooting against me.
Well.
She would text my kids every, hour. She goes, how's Dad doing? He's behind pace, and she'd give like a thumbs up emoji.
Did she know you were going to be the bad boy of the Oscars?
I know now.
Oh my God! You think I wasn't obsessing all week about it? You know, she didn't care. She was trying to get her shoes and the glam squad over.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Well, congrats, Ray Romano.
Ray, you're the best. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it, and thanks for using the F word on our air as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to get it's in my. I may be the guy now. That may be my thing.
Yeah, you're like Dice Clay now.
You have to say it everywhere you go.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ray.
Bye.
Bye now.
All right, man, bye.
I don't know what the song was, but it was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice little song right there.
Snickers ad.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Allie, what do you got for us?
Well,
you have a problem?
There is
a
dating app that you're not supposed to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is supposedly for.
This is Raya?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, Kevin and I don't care.
I don't care.
We can't get kicked out. We're not on it.
Okay.
Raya, it's like a kind of a Soho House dating app. You're supposed to be a certain level of celebrity or, you know, it's a very much a velvet rope.
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah.
You can't take screenshots of anyone that's on it or you will be kicked off of the app.
Wow.
It's supposed to be elite.
Okay.
So when I was scrolling through and I saw a friend's fiance on it like 4 months ago, I thought, oh, okay, well, he just didn't delete it. No big deal. Didn't think about it again.
Right.
But quick question. It is a pay-for app, correct?
Yes.
So
pay like 6 months in advance.
Okay. So you're being very kind here.
I'm being very kind.
He would see it on his bill is what we're saying.
At this point.
Fair.
Yes. But again, a lot of apps, just they do the auto pay, so you don't think about it type of thing. So,
but who doesn't look at that?
These are all good questions. Good, and also, if you get in a relationship, one of the first things I think most people think about is get off the apps. But okay,
you would think, yeah.
Just so you know, I'm just looking up online here. 28 famous people on Raya from Nylon magazine: Cara Delevingne, Ruby Rose.
Ben Affleck was just on it.
John Mayer used to be on it.
But you're not supposed to talk about.
I'm allowed. Listen, I'm saying it's a newspaper. It's an article. So
okay. So here's the thing. So last week, scrolling through again, and I see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's not the picture he used for the front picture as last time.
He updated
it? So that
it?
Means he's updating it, which means he's on this app. Granted, this is not a good friend of mine. It's a friend.
Okay.
Do I tell her?
Wait, are you friends with the girl or the guy?
The girl.
The girl.
Do I tell her, hey, your dude's on this dating app and not sure why he's updating his profile pic and his song? But he is. And that's,
you have a song?
You get to pick a song.
It sounds ridiculous.
The song is why I blame that I'm not landing a lot of dates.
Oh.
What song is your song? Smash Mouth All-Star?
I picked Misbehavin' from the Righteous Gemstones.
That's cool.
Running through the house with the pickle in my mouth.
I mean, that's a good song for you.
That's good.
It's great.
That's a great song.
They know what they're in for.
Yep.
But I think when people click on the songs, they're
church
like,
and advertising.
She loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I love Jesus as much as her. But then you listen to the song, it's just comedy. Anywho, not the point. The point is, dude is trying to get dates on a dating app and he's engaged to someone I know.
Hmm. And your question is,
do I say something? She's not a good friend. If it was a good friend, more of an acquaintance.
Okay.
Someone I used to.
How
doesn't matter.
How commonly, don't ruin. Yeah, you're almost just out at the person on the radio.
Wow.
How often do you see this person?
Oh, I haven't seen this person in a couple years.
Oh.
Yeah.
A couple years. All right.
That, by the way, these are questions I'm asking to mold my opinion. Have you hung out with them together?
No, I had never met him. And the only reason I knew that they were together.
You don't know them as a couple?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Could they be
have an open relationship?
Question.
Again, don't know.
Don't know. Could they be broken up now?
No.
Okay.
Because I went to her Instagram and there's pictures of them on vacation together.
Holding each other saying, we're definitely not broken up.
We are so together. Okay. I just hope he's not on a dating app. Which I thought that was such a weird thing
long
to
caption.
Write.
Okay. I'm really shaping this up.
Yeah.
Now, a question. If you saw this person, if you saw someone that was dating someone that was your friend and you saw them out in public in real life at a restaurant and it looked cozy, would you say something?
Yes. If it was a good friend, absolutely.
Okay, but she's not a...
Oh, no. If it was this guy with the girl?
Real life, yeah.
No.
Okay.
You wouldn't? Okay.
No. So I'm leaning towards staying out of it.
I think you want to find any way to stay out of that.
Yeah.
But I also would... Okay.
You also would what?
Oh, no.
Okay, do you have a friend who's closer to her?
Thought about that, too.
Because
I would hit the text.
Nice.
Yeah. Hit the text and go, hey, quick question. Are they still together or do they...
See, then that's drama I don't even want to get into with that person. I feel like I stay completely out of this, pretend I never even saw it, because she's not a good friend, a good enough friend for me. I'm sad for her.
To wade into the middle of that.
Yeah, I'm sad for her if he is doing this, but...
What's her name?
What's his name?
Just say that.
And once she catches him, then you're able to call her and be like, I knew, but I didn't say anything.
No way. Why would she do that?
I knew the whole time. I could have saved you everything.
I'm just an a-hole.
Could have saved your life, the wedding, the cost, family flying out.
Okay, so I'm doing the right thing by not doing anything.
I mean, define right thing.
You're right. It just feels bad.
It does feel bad. There's no win.
I hope one day she tweets like, I wish someone would have told me before I got into this garbage.
Oh, no. Matt Bellin joining us in studio again like we do after every Oscars. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Matt.
Good morning.
How were your Oscars last night?
They were actually really fun. For me, I don't necessarily care who wins. I just want there to be fun surprises.
And did it seem like that in the house?
Oh, absolutely. No one thought that Parasite would have the night that it did. I mean, that's incredible. It's just this, you know, small Korean film that came out of nowhere. And by the end of award season, it's picking up Best Picture.
Yeah.
Amazing. Seems like that director,
Bong Joon-ho, yes.
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to go home. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't think this would happen and...
He has been the star of award season. He is hilarious.
Was it too much for him, do you think?
No, I think
not really.
No, he is charismatic. He's a star in his own right. In his country, he's a gigantic star.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just for him to have that platform to get up there over and over and over, I think he was just having fun with it.
Yeah.
Everybody that has talked about him, there's such reverence for him, from Edgar Wright to Tarantino, and to see him give up some of his time to share the accolade with Scorsese and Tarantino spoke to who he is.
Oh, absolutely. And he's actually pretty well known. If you looked at the activity online before the Oscars, mm-hmm. there was actually so much activity in social media and all these other places over that movie mm-hmm. because, first of all, it's a sort of cultish movie and it's a genre movie, but secondly, because of him. He right. has tons of fans,
yeah.
and it was going nuts. And amazingly, it translated into Oscar votes.
Were you yeah. surprised?
Yes. I was a little bit. I mean, I wasn't that surprised because I actually picked him to win director in my office pool.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Matt.
But I do think it was this. It was once again there was the old guard Oscar voters who loved 1917. Yeah. It's this very traditional World War I movie. And then there's this upstart group of Oscar voters that have been admitted over the past 5 or 6 years that gravitated towards the cool new kid, which is Parasite.
Yeah.
And it also seemed to trend his other movies online yesterday, too, on Twitter, which is exciting because he has great movies like The Host and Mother that are in his back catalog now.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer is awesome. Yeah. Like ones that people will watch now. They're worth seeing.
Absolutely.
Now, being there, what was the reaction like when all of a sudden Eminem appears and does a song?
I think.
Did you know that was coming?
No, that was a big surprise.
Wow.
They didn't tell anyone. I think, I mean, this guy sitting next to me was like, well, I like this song, but why? Like, what?
The shots that they had in the room, everybody was singing along.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
oh, digging it.
I mean, it's the rare example of a movie that a song that wins Best Song of the Oscars that's actually good and yeah. enduring, and people still like.
But why did he do it? I was in and out of.
I don't know. I mean, he's got a new album. I don't know. He wants to get out there, and I mean, the reason they
it seems like it's not very Eminem.
He definitely does not do these things much.
No, well, and famously, he did not show up for the year that he won.
The year he won, yeah. right.
So maybe this was an atonement or something like that. But the way the Academy explained it was they did this montage. They were celebrating, you know, iconic music in movies. And then they said, who can we get? And Eminem came up, and everyone's like, I watch Eminem.
Well, I wish it was It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. 3-6 Mafia. Oscar winner ever. Yeah.
I loved it. It just seemed like such the perfect time for it, too, because it was kind of starting to drag a little bit. And then the energy just went right back up.
Yeah, I mean, nobody in the room was like, I don't like this. They were. Yeah. It was just sort of like,
what's happening in life?
Why is this
confused.
Happening? Yeah. yeah, exactly. And especially compared to the Elton John song, which won, which was sort of a mediocre Elton John song.
How dare you?
That.
I mean, I bet even Elton John would say this is not one of his best songs.
No, I think Bernie would say it too.
Right.
I can't
exactly.
believe we're finally winning for this.
That was a career retrospective award, especially in a pretty weak year for songs.
Yeah.
I mean, because Cynthia Erivo, in the performances, she was the best by far in the room.
And she would have been EGOT if she
would
won.
Have. I know. That would have been great.
Okay, I'll ask you off the air, but I just got so excited to ask you about The Outsider. Sorry.
Oh,
talk about it off the air.
What, did you go to any parties afterwards?
I went to the Parasite party, and that was fun. I mean, because the Korean entertainment industry is all centered around this one company, CJ Entertainment, which produced Parasite, is also super into the K-pop world.
Mm-hmm.
So there were K-pop performers. It was like a Korean coming out party at the Soho House. And
it
everyone
sounds
was there.
Like that's the most fun place to be.
Oh, it was great. There was, you know, there was karaoke. People were doing shots.
Did you do karaoke?
I did not.
Did you do shots?
I may have had a little bit of a
shot. Were people like scurrying to party with Bong?
Well, he didn't show up there until late.
Okay.
Because he has to do all the rounds and he has to
Fanny
show up
Fair,
at all the.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. So he didn't show up till super late, but everybody else from the movie was there and going nuts.
So cool.
Sounds like so much fun.
It was fun. It's fun. I mean, listen, in the Oscar world, you come into contact with people who are super jaded, who have been doing this for 35 years, and then you come across people who are new to this world and are just so excited to be in it.
Yeah.
And this is what it was like last night.
Do they know what he's doing next?
I don't think so. There is actually a Snowpiercer TV show that's
coming.
He's
like an EP on, right?
Yeah, I don't know how involved he is, but this has been in the works a long time. Snowpiercer is one of his former movies, and TNT is doing a TV show based on that.
And I'm assuming anyone in Hollywood. He could pick any person right now to work with.
Oh. He's doing the Parasite series with Adam McKay.
That is correct.
But that's kind of another EP thing, right? Like, I want to know what he's directing, what he's writing.
Exactly. And I mean, this is the best advertisement. You're sitting there winning these awards in front of the top actors in Hollywood, and every single one of them is probably thinking, how do I work with this guy?
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
You want to put your hat in the ring?
Yeah, I'd like to. It sounds fun.
I'd like
to start acting.
I just want people to see the movie. It's actually really good, and I know some people are averse to subtitles. I don't want to read at the movies. But
by the way, that was me.
Yes.
And I loved it. It was
exactly.
my favorite movie of the year.
I used to be like that too, but this is the kind of movie where it really does reward, you know, that extra effort, and you got to see it.
He was very funny by saying the one-inch barrier of what? How did you describe it?
American barrier of one-inch reading, yes. or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, very good.
But I think more and more people, because of Netflix, and more people are exposed to international shows and movies, I think that's coming down a little bit.
That makes sense. Rank it.
Among my top Oscars?
Yeah, the Oscars.
Well, nothing is ever going to be as good as the envelope mix-up Oscars.
Great.
Nothing will ever, I mean, short of like...
It should have won an Oscar.
Yeah, short of like, you know, Steven Spielberg, like, you know, streaking or something like that.
I mean, Night is Young.
The Night is Young, yeah. But this was pretty good. I mean, it's
that's what we thought.
Yeah, there were a lot of surprises. There were interesting speeches. Joaquin Phoenix, you know.
I can't take Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, something about milk and my
loves
cow.
Loves cows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do
you
have that? I don't know. He's bugging me a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has very successfully taken this award season and co-opted it for his own personal
cause. Apology tour? Yeah, an apology tour.
That's true, but also the animal rights stuff and vegan. I mean, the fact that all these award shows are now vegan is directly because
of
him.
Yeah, you have a captive audience to talk about something close to your heart.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Okay.
We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow.
What?
And when she gives birth, we steal her baby. Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
I mean, I was pouring cereal right then. I was like, what?
It sounds like a Family Guy sketch.
I gotta be honest, like, if someone else said that, maybe it would be okay, but for me, it bugs.
Yeah, I think a lot of cries of anguish were coming from the Oscar viewers that night when they were like, oh, please don't lecture me.
Shut up.
And also him being on a soapbox is annoying because he has so much of a tainted past, and I know he brought it up, but still, it's like, I'd rather hear from almost anyone else.
Yeah, my favorite kind of Oscar speech is the Laura Dern type, where she was genuinely emotional. Mm-hmm. She, you know, her parents were there, she was addressing them, and just like, it makes you feel good.
Giving a speech, by the way, is a different talent. It's not the same as acting. It's a different talent.
Oh, totally.
To be able to give a speech is something
and
different.
That was
altogether.
A big thing. I'm sure you could talk on it, like that Brad Pitt had been sort of employing speech writers.
Allegedly, yes. But, you know, the weird thing about this award season was the four acting winners were sort of preordained months ago.
Yeah.
Everybody knew they were going to win, so they've gotten up at all these award shows and given different speeches, and that's really tough.
It's hard,
And then you want the Oscars to feel something special, something different that you haven't done before. And it's tough. And you either go the activism route like Brad Pitt did or Joaquin Phoenix, or you go the emotional route. And I don't really know what Renee Zellweger was doing.
She's sweet spirit.
I have no idea what she was talking about.
Lovely woman, very nice.
She basically, she rewrote We Didn't Start the Fire. It was just named.
I have to say that this past year of conversations celebrating Judy Garland across genders and across generations and across cultures.
Okay, I was out right at that point. I was just like, stop.
Well, she clearly
stop
had something prepared that she wanted to do, and she was
jumbled.
Trying to stay on script.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to get up there and be meaningful and not just thank your agent, which, you know, a lot of people do, and it's so boring when they do.
Are you happy award season is over?
A little bit. It's certainly, well, first of all, it's not over. We have a big print issue that we have to put together today.
Okay.
But when it is over,
you can nap.
I'm excited.
Matt Bellamy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Hey, Ollie.
What's happening?
Guys, SoFi Stadium, the new $5 billion stadium. We're going to have the Super Bowl there, college football, playoff, national championship games, the Olympics. Taylor Swift is opening in the thing. But you know what?
You had me till Taylor Swift.
You know what has a lot of people talking?
What?
WrestleMania! Yeah, yeah. WrestleMania 37 will take place at SoFi Stadium in March 2021, and people are losing their minds. They're like, yeah, Olympics, whatever. Super Bowl, WWE, baby.
I would like to see it.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I can go. I'm a wrestling head, as you know. And since they have...
You can go and not see the stage?
Well, no. They can go Sunday. It's a Sunday event. I can just go home. I could go leave at any time.
Right.
Well, yeah, they're like 7 hours.
I don't have to fly anywhere. This is great. I'm very excited to go.
Very exciting. The WWE will hold a news conference tomorrow announcing it. And WrestleMania's return to LA, you guys.
And they'll have other events throughout the weekend at Staples.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be great.
It's going to be a blast. All right, we just talked to Matt Bellany about some of the cool things that happened at the Oscars, but if you're just waking up and you didn't see it, you don't know who won. Best Picture, Parasite. Best Director, Bong Joon-ho, Parasite. What else?
Best name, Bong.
Original screenplay, Bong Joon-ho, Han Jin-won, Parasite. And there was one other Parasite win. Best foreign film, yeah. Parasite.
Pretty surprising.
I mean, huge night for Parasite. Best actress, Renee Zellweger for Judy. Best actor, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker. Mm-hmm. You've got a little bit more of his speech.
Of Joaquin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It drove you bonkers, Kevin.
I think if it was somebody else saying it, it was fine. But
it was weirder from him.
I think he bugs me.
We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow.
What?
And when she gives birth, we steal her baby.
What?
Even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
I was yelling, shut up! Get off the stage!
I think we fear the idea of personal change. Because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best.
All right, great.
Do you have chicken finger?
By the way, what he said wasn't terrible.
No, I mean,
it's just coming from him. Shut up.
Yeah.
I do think there was a part of his speech that I thought was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I do not feel elevated above any of my fellow nominees because we share the same love of film, and this form of expression has given me the most extraordinary life. I don't know what I'd be without it, but when we're at our best is when we support each other. Not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other toward redemption.
But what about the cow's milk?
The cow took a turn.
Is everybody finished taking their nap?
But I think he has done all the right things when it comes to redemption. You apologize to those you wronged, and you work towards being better every day.
I think the argument against is it took a long time for Joaquin Phoenix to get there.
And
which I think
sometimes it happens.
He ignored it for a very long time. Casey Affleck had to take the fall for a while. I mean, there's a lot of things I would like to lecture Joaquin Phoenix on rather than him lecture me about cows.
Well,
but I do appreciate it.
You believe in redemption or don't.
It's, correct.
Shouldn't be about the timing of it. Yeah, if it takes a longer time, maybe it took him longer because he didn't think he deserved it.
Or he saw Casey Affleck's career end.
Or he didn't think he needed to.
That's possible. I mean, it's really, he is an enigma, so to go into his head would be impossible.
I'm just saying, listen to the man about redemption. Redemption is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
I mean, the cow insemination thing was...
That needs to go away.
It was a lot.
Stupid.
It was definitely a lot. But other big wins, animated short film, Hair Love. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Matthew Cherry for that one. The documentary short, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, if you're a girl. Those two women that got up there and talked about that movie, I was like, and now you make me want to watch this documentary.
Is that the full title?
Yes.
Agreed, yeah.
Yes. Crazy. It's not a short title.
If you're a girl, I think it's in a parenthesis.
Oh. Yes, it is, yeah. Kevin. Look at you being awake during that part. Excellent. Taika Waititi won for adapted screenplay
Very
for Jojo Rabbit, which I love the fact that it was a book that his mom would read to him. And he just thought about it all these years and was like, I want to make that a movie about Nazis. And I'm going to play Adolf Hitler. And he did it. Mm-hmm. Plus, he is so handsome.
Right.
That's my takeaway.
He was a very handsome Hitler.
Is that a thing?
He brought
a category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best looking Hitler.
He brought the heat to Hitler?
Best looking Hitler. He took that home for sure.
I love that movie so very much.
It's very good.
First of all, I have loved everything from Eagle versus Shark to Boy and on. I have just been team Taika.
He's great.
He's amazing. So congratulations to all of you. And of course, my God, Eminem.
So great.
I love it.
So good. You guys, I love seeing people in the audience just singing every word. Just
There's a really good version of that song, too.
Yes. I hate that he raps over his own track.
Yeah, but
it's
they all
fine.
Do that.
But I mean, he does it more than most. But
does
yeah,
he?
But listen, it was great. People had a great. I also seen people dance in the
he
audience.
Wants to
he doesn't
want
to.
So
no,
bad.
It's just he was off. Whatever. His ear seemed off. He kept messing with it at the beginning. He fixed it.
It sounded great.
Yes.
It did. It
freaking
was wonderful.
Jensen.
In the end, yes.
God, let it go, other white rapper.
In the end.
So gels.
You got any pretzels?
Eminem took to social media and said, look, if you had another shot, another opportunity.
See?
Thanks for having me, the Academy. Sorry it took me 18 years to get here.
Mom's spaghetti, man.
He won for Best Original Song 18 years ago with Lose Yourself.
This is how we do it.
Wouldn't that be awesome
if
all of a sudden Montel just popped up out of
like,
nowhere?
Music make films. The greatest music of all time. And then...
This is how we do it.
I will say the lead up to Eminem coming out was them talking about how songs can just change a whole movie.
Yeah, and
bring
I agree.
You into it. And every single song that they showed from the movies, I was like, I love that movie. Yeah. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. I love that movie. And it showed... Like, I always knew that... Music definitely changed my view of the movie, but I didn't realize until that montage. And then they got to 8 Mile at the end, and they were showing like three slow clips, and I was getting mad. I was like, play the song. Why are you playing the song? And then
they heard you.
The lights come up, and out comes Eminem. I am not a huge Eminem fan. That was the greatest moment of my life.
That's sad.
It really is.
But it was a good performance, I
it
thought.
Was excellent.
It was fun.
And then Olivia Colman coming out to
yeah,
do
she was
the
great.
Best actor. And she came out and said, this time last year when I won the Oscar was the best night of my husband's life. She then mentioned she birthed three children, mm-hmm. so it was weird that that was his best night ever. And I thought to
she
myself,
was very funny.
Only an understated British woman saying that could basically be like, I boned my husband all night last year when I won. And it didn't sound weird or
all,
dirty
yeah.
or anything. It was just like, oh, her husband totally got some.
Can I tell
that was
you?
Excellent.
Can I tell you that Haroldine?
Yes.
My mother
yes.
texted me with something that I did not know about the Oscars that I think really adds to Joaquin Phoenix's insanity.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Did you know that Joaquin Phoenix went into the kitchen to ensure that everything was vegan and plant-based and tasted everything before the show?
No, that makes me hate him more.
He supposedly
shut the F up.
Sat with all the awards and came up with menus.
Okay, Morrissey.
Whatever.
No, he showed up. He's not Morrissey.
Oh, right, it's true. He did show up at the show. Oh, God. That's
can
insufferable.
Can you imagine...
He thinks that they
oh,
were like...
Oh, let me taste it. Let me taste it.
Oh, let's just put a little bacon in there to make Joaquin mad.
Wow, you two hate Joaquin.
I just... I'm just tired of him.
Okay.
It's
well,
over the top.
Guess what? He's gone.
Okay.
Well, no, he'll be around for
not
a long
gone,
time.
No, he's gone.
Okay.
This is it. He retired.
I didn't, hear that part.
It's not true. Some birthdays for you. Stephanie Beatrice. Vic Fuentes, singer.
Too much information in this man.
No, that's Victor Fuentes. I'm talking about Pierce the Veil.
Oh.
Chloe Grace Moretz. Emma Roberts, Elizabeth Banks, Laura Dern. She won an Academy Award and then got to celebrate her birth. Fantastic.
That was a great speech, too.
She's the best.
She's wonderful. And Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black.
She is a criminal.
In the show, yeah, she does play Crazy Eyes. And that's what's happening.
Sally.
What is even happening?
Great question. Your mic is... I should turn on your mic.
Nah. It's helpful.
Okay.
Nah. Like on a
I figured
radio
you could
show.
Yell, but okay.
You know how we always talk about you're never going to get away in a police chase. You're just not.
Right.
There are helicopters on you. Police are following you. It's never going to work out in your favor. Don't do it.
Right.
Except for this situation.
What?
The LA Police Department released surveillance video showing it was about a month ago, where a suspect led authorities on a high-speed chase on Southern California streets and freeways. The chase began in downtown L.A., made its way through the 134, the 210, and 605 freeways. It was a dark-colored Honda seen driving erratically, weaving in and out of traffic, speeds upwards of 100 miles per hour.
That doesn't seem ideal.
No.
The chase ended at Commerce Casino, where the driver abandoned the vehicle, walked into the building with the other guests.
Pretty smart.
Surveillance video shows him making his way out of the building a short time later, hopping in a taxi, drove away.
That got was a, macho.
Got away.
Got away, you guys. Hmm.
Do you remember the high-speed chase that happened with the motorcycle at Glendale Galleria? And the motorcycle went under that parking garage. It went into the Galleria. And then, but his motorcycle was, it was registered to him. So the cops found it. Oh. And they were like, okay, we're just going to go to his house.
Well, that wasn't very
smart. No, not smart at all.
There is another story like this about kids or a couple people who got in a high-speed chase then drove to the UCLA campus and walked on.
Oh, I don't remember that
And they just blended in with other students. And I don't think they were caught, or at least for a long time either. So it's about blending in. If you're running from
what
the cops.
What we're doing is we're telling you exactly how to evade police.
Take it from us.
No, don't do that.
Bring it up in court.
Don't
say,
do it.
Kevin
don't
in the morning.
Don't no, do no, it. Don't.
Told
certainly
me
don't
that
do
I'd
that.
Get away with no. this.
We're saying don't do it.
As long as I find a crowd.
Nope.
Don't do it, you guys. I know a lot of you have been really torn up about this Pamela Anderson marriage that after 12 days.
I mean, if they can't make it.
If they can't make it, who can?
That's
and
sad.
So close to Valentine's Day, how am I supposed to believe in love?
Yeah. Pam Anderson?
Yes, Pam Anderson. Well, Pam Anderson has blamed her failed 12-day marriage on openness.
Right.
What does that mean exactly?
What does that mean exactly?
Well, she apparently agreed to marry John Peters after she had just returned from a month-long spiritual cleanse in India. And according to friends, her heart was open, but in hindsight, just too open.
Hmm. She cared too much.
She loved love.
Right. Yeah.
Too much, you guys. Yeah. Apparently, they had dated 30 years ago, but then she only spent 3 days with him before they bit the bullet and got married. And she regretted it almost instantly. The insider blabs. I mean, I always love that. This source close to Pam Anderson says. Apparently, here's what went wrong. Pamela felt that he was frustrated over how she wanted to maintain her financial independence. He started to make calls about her career and cast her in a movie that he was working on. All things she didn't want.
What the hell?
All in 12 days.
Wow, he was busy.
12 days,
on the
you guys.
Phone the whole time.
They didn't finalize their paperwork, however, so they were able to just walk away. So if you're keeping track at home, it would have been her fifth marriage. But now
but
it's
it wasn't?
Only fourth.
Okay.
It's only
four. Now it's four.
Four plus.
And I think he was at five as well, but now back
four
down to
with
four.
An asterisk.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
you
right.
Know, I think we decided 4.2. 4.2. What we...
They're the Houston Astros of marriage.
It's just, she was too open.
She's got a point. She's an icon. Mm-hmm. She's a legend.
Bam Anderson?
She is the moment.
Yes, Bam Anderson.
Guys, what do you think about parents that pick unique names so their kid will stand out?
Well, I believe I chose a unique name for my son, Adler.
Well, when I read some of these names, Adler is the most vanilla name okay. I've ever heard.
All right, hit me.
New parents are giving their babies made-up names such as Renlow.
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 Mavery.
That, what?
Elisabel. And Jaspin.
Jaspin.
They're just combining names?
They're literally making up names out of mostly two names and just kind of switching them up a little bit.
I hate to tell people this, but naming them something unique is not going to make them unique.
Mm-mm.
No.
Take that from me, Jensen.
Them being unique is going to make them unique, not their name.
Right.
According to a survey, 7% have already chosen a unique name for their child, while a further two-thirds, 65%, said they would consider it. Made-up baby names are becoming more and more popular. Here's a few names that are rising on the charts. Faelina.
Nope.
Faelina.
Eva Beth.
That's not rising on any chart.
Brigham. And Tovin.
These are the names we make up for the Jonas Brothers.
Right.
These are climbing the charts.
They're not, there's no charts.
Says, there are charts.
There's not a chart.
And Tovin is climbing it.
Spell
along
it.
With Faelina and Eva Beth.
Tovin is
Tovin, T-O-V-I-N.
Tovin.
Wow. So it's like Tobin,
right.
But with a V. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean.
These names are
Brigham
bad.
I get, because it, like you can think of Brigham Young or whatever, but I mean.
Right.
They used to have an ad for, when I worked in Utah, it was such a great ad for the ski mountain resort thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a picture of Brigham Young with him with a bunch of kids on a chairlift.
Oh,
and
no.
It just said, Brigham Young.
Oh, boy. Also, that was what R. Kelly used to put on his concert shirt.
I mean, maybe in hindsight, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Made me laugh.
I don't look sad, but I really am disappointed.
Yeah.
In me? I'm sorry, no, kid. No. Wow.
Brigham Young.
Mm-hmm. Very upsetting. And in case you're wondering about what movies did well at the box office this weekend, Birds of Prey fell well short of expectations. $33.2 million in their opening weekend, the worst start for a DC Comics adaptation since Jonah Hex in 2010. Mm. Which is a bummer because everyone that has seen Birds of Prey
says it's
surprised by how good it is.
Well, maybe it'll have legs. I haven't gone. I want to go.
Yeah,
maybe
it'll have legs.
Yeah, I think just anything coming off of Suicide Squad, people are like, not going to be great. But everyone we've talked to that saw it loved it. Coming in number two, Bad Boys for Life, followed by 1917. Coming in fourth, Doolittle. And then rounding out the top five. In its ninth weekend, Jumanji, The Next Level. Yeah. On the verge of crossing 300 million domestic, and it has surpassed 750 million worldwide. So
I have that one as
making money.
I have that one as like a backup. I could always go to Jumanji. I haven't yet.
Right.
But it's, I would think I would like it.
That is a perfect airplane movie.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Jumanji?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I watched a red carpet interview with James Corden.
In your soft pants?
In my soft pants. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to my ads for entertainment. Where the guy asked him about Cats, and he said, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And the guy was flabbergasted, and he's like, how have you not seen it? He's like, I read the reviews. And I laughed so hard. But he said, you know, maybe I'll be on a plane one day. I'll watch it on the plane.
Be forced to.
And it's a total plane movie, right?
I mean, I've been told you have to see it with a crowd, so it'd probably be
so
better.
So you can laugh.
Yeah.
We've used digital fur technology to create the most perfect covering of fur. Mm.
I feel like you didn't, sir. Mm. What if you got the whole plane to watch it? And you also bought shots for everyone on the plane. You're James Corden flying...
That would work.
...to the UK. And
I would
like,
need shots.
Listen, I've got everybody's cocktails if we all want to watch Cats and start at the same time together. I'd love to be on that plane.
Directing Cats is like directing a group of world-class athletes.
Mm.
I mean,
no.
Again, no.
It's not really.
No.
Not at all.
What did you think of him and...
I thought it was really funny.
The heck is his name?
Rebel Wilson. I thought it was a really funny bit. I also love the idea that they're fully dressed and painted and stuff and have to basically hand off an award to someone having the greatest day of their life.
As cats.
Yeah, as cats.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They went all out.
They did.
That made it work.
And the microphone bit was really funny.
Yeah.
Tapping the microphone was very funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
A friend of mine said that he would have watched them hitting the microphone for 2 hours instead of actually watching Cats, which I thought that is definitely sad. Mm.
These are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
Not enough to see the movie.
No, never saw it.
Let's not be crazy.
So good. Some birthdays for you. Laura Dern, Elizabeth Banks, Emma Roberts, Chloe Grace Moretz, Vic Fuentes. Very different from Victor Fuentes, everybody. This is the singer from Pierce the Veil.
Too much information, this man.
Just want to make it clear. Stephanie Beatrice and Uzo Aduba, and that's what's happening.
Mugs, where are you continuing your diet?
We are kicking...
the tour continues.
Yes. We're kicking off the second week of our Del Taco stops, and today we'll be at 17501 Beach Boulevard in Huntington Beach from noon to 1 p.m. We will be giving away a pair of lift tickets to K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain to the first 50 people in line. Also, free Del Taco food. I'll be hanging out and having a good old time.
Come on out, prize hogs.
Yeah. That's like a real life nightmare.
A 5 p.m. commercial free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all new show. We have Jensen's guest list. Mm-hmm. We have the strangest places you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have your tickets for the 1975.
Oh, luck out.
Tomorrow morning.